The Message. The last days according to Jesus Christ. Can you say that with me? The last days according to Jesus Christ. People wonder, why are you doing the last days according to Jesus? I mean, didn't Paul say stuff and Peter say stuff? Oh, yeah, they did. But I just wanted to hone in on what Jesus said. Because I've heard people say, now, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I don't believe in that coming again stuff and end of the world stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I find that interesting. You believe in that part that you like, but you don't believe in, and you believe in Jesus, but he said all this other stuff, and you don't believe that. What's that about? Well, I believe you this way, but you're a liar over here. That's not going to fly. We're not bold enough to talk to him like that, but that's what we're saying. We need to believe the Bible. We need to believe all the Bible. It's crazy, and I'm not going to spend my time, I've said it to you before, I'm not going to give my life, spend my time half preaching a book. Or I believed it, but I don't believe that. I'm crazy enough without being crazy like that. Amen? So we believe the Bible. So I want this series to exclusively focus on the words of Jesus Christ as it relates to the last days. So let's get going. Here we go. Let's look at it this morning. Here we go. Today's message, that is a serious bank vault, isn't it? Take it to the bank. Can you say that with me? Take it to the bank. That's the title of our message today. And let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ says something, let me tell you something. You can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. I don't know if y'all say that from where y'all from. We say it. You take that to the bank. What does that mean? That dog will hunt. That's what we talk about. Amen. That's what we're talking about right there. That thing will work. Amen. I lost some of you on that line. But anyway, here we go. Take it to the bank. Let's see what we've got. Matthew 24:35. If you have your Bible, certainly we encourage you to use your Bible, but also the scriptures are going to be on the big screen today so you can see them, and that's the way we preach our messages. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now let's review one time real quick. Whose words are we going to see from scripture in the messages? Somebody tell me. The words of Jesus Christ. So I don't need to keep repeating myself and saying, well, he said this, and he said this, and he said this. All these words are his words. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Let's move it. Here we go. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Let's keep moving quickly. My words shall not pass away. Would you say that with me? My words shall not pass away. That's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus is simply saying in just plain English, you can take what I say to the bank. You can take what I say to the bank. If I say I love you, I love you. If I say there's a heaven, there's a heaven. Anything he says, you can believe him. Are you hearing me today? I mean, yeah, people let us down. If you follow me close enough, I'm sure I'll let you down as well. People do let us down. He'll never let you down. Well, somebody lied to me. He won't. Well, they said they were going to do this, and they didn't. He will. Take his words to the bank. His words will not pass away. Keep looking. By the way, he has a great track record. Pop it up, Rog. We're talking about take it to the bank. So he's got some, Roger's got some bank stuff all through here for us. You know, great credit score would be 900. We call that, isn't that called a beacon score or something like that? Well, last time I checked, he's the light of the world, amen? He's got a serious beacon. He can serious tell it the way it is. You can. He is good for it. He has a great track record. When you look at the Bible, Jesus Christ can predict the future and the end of days and the coming of the world when it will end one day. Why? Because he's got a good track record. We can trust him on his predictions. Let's look at that right now. Let's look at some of these things this morning. The last days, according to Christ. I want to talk about a few of his predictions that he's made in the past that gives him that excellent credit rating. Here it is, number one. He predicted his betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection. Say that with me. He predicted his betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection. Look at it. Matthew 17:22-23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Matthew 20:18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be what? Betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall what? Condemn him to death, and shall deliver him into the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to what? Crucify him. And buddy, he was right on the money.
He even said this, and the what day? The third day, I'll rise from the dead. Wow. He's got a pretty good track record. He's predicted things in the past. And we believe those, don't we? Say, oh, I believe he died. Yeah, I believe he was born of a virgin. Well, that was pretty tough. You know what I'm saying? I believe he was crucified. I believe he resurrected from the dead. I believe that, but that coming again stuff, I don't believe that. That's crazy. Well, it sounds like all this other stuff I just said is crazy too. Somebody born of a virgin, come from heaven, live on this earth, die on the cross, raised from the dead. Come on, if it's crazy, it's all crazy. That's why it says, without faith, it's impossible to please me, God says in Hebrews 11. You will, I'll work my way. No, you won't. You're going to believe him or not. See, he really doesn't need you. He lets you work for him because it's his plan. But what you need is you need him, and you get him by faith, by believing him. You know, hey, yeah, coming in, it does sound crazy. I understand that. But you know what? All of it is by faith. But I tell you what, I believe it. I believe it. History even backs it up. We can see so much of things that's happened that history backs it up. And so we've been blessed. Have faith in him. Have faith in what he says. Keep looking. Number two, he predicted being forsaken by his disciples. He predicted Peter's three-time denial. He even predicted a rooster crowing. That's pretty doggone good, ain't it? Say, oh, and by the way, the rooster's going to crow. I mean, that is amazing. Look what the Bible says. Look at it. Matthew 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, I'll never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, listen, that this night before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny you. Likewise said all the disciples, we ain't going to leave you either. Did they? Yes or no? They did. Did Peter deny him? Yes or no? Yes. Jesus has a good track record. I'm laying the groundwork today as we study the last days so that you can see he has a good track record. You can trust him. So when we focus on the words of Jesus over these 6 weeks, you can have confidence in what the Bible's saying, what Jesus is saying. Here's the third prediction that he made, and I really need you to listen. Hang in here with me. And actually, the clock's doing good today. We've been late a lot of weeks getting me up here, but it's my fault. But we're doing pretty good today, so hang in here. He predicted the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It's important that you know that. Don't you say that with me. He predicted the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It's very important. Watch it. Listen. Here we go. In the Bible, there are two chapters exclusively. There are more than that. But Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 really deal a lot with the coming of Jesus Christ, with the end of the world, and what's going to happen. Things like the tribulation period and end time events. They're in chapter 24 and 25. Well, look at how it starts out. Watch it. And Jesus went out. He departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Verse 2. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one, what? Say it with me. Stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus, when he starts out Matthew 24, he gives a prediction about the temple of Jerusalem being destroyed and Jerusalem itself being destroyed. Let's keep looking. Luke 21, verse 20 through 24 gives us a little more detail. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Verse 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Jesus Christ predicted the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. Let's look and see if history backs it up. Y'all want to see a little history lesson this morning? Let's look at a little history lesson. Let's see if Jesus is good for it. Let's see if his credit rating is still up there at the high level, if it dropped off. Let's look at it. It was fulfilled to a T in AD 70.
He made this prediction in A.D. 40, somewhere in that ballpark, or A.D. 30 rather, somewhere in that ballpark. So about 40 years later, the destruction of Jerusalem actually happened just like he said. But Jesus is usually a little bit better than good for it. He's great for it. He's great at it. He gives you a little bit of extra juice. If you'll listen, watch it. The Romans under Titus, there's the dude, besieged and captured the city of Jerusalem. In AD 70, the Romans under Titus, they besieged and they captured the city of Jerusalem. Now watch it. They looted the treasures. They burned the houses and furnishings. And read that last line with me. And they even carried away the... That's what he said 40 years earlier. He says, not one stone shall be left unturned. I'm just telling you today, when we talk about Jesus Christ and end time events and the end of the world and those kind of things that will happen one day, you can trust him. Are you hearing me today? You can trust him. And I know how, and Satan doesn't want us to believe him. He doesn't want us to think like that. But let me tell you something, friend. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe. We must believe in him. And so that is really where I want to head this morning. So he's got a pretty good track record. Let's keep looking. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3. So we're just moving now through chapter 24. And you're going to see we're going to spend a little time in chapter 24 today. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and they said this. Watch it. Tell us when these things will be. That you're talking about the temple in Jerusalem. And what shall be the sign of your coming? And what shall be the signs of the end of the world? So they ask him these questions. So hang in here. The last days, according to Jesus. They ask him this question. When will this happen to the temple? When will this happen to the temple? Tell us about it. Well, you know, it was going to happen about 40 years, and it did happen. Look at number 2. They ask him this question. What will be the sign of your coming? The signs of your coming. Question number 3, they ask him. What will be the signs of the end of the world? Those are some serious questions, aren't they? Say, these are good questions, boy. Those disciples, they were on the ball there. They were interested, just like we're interested, of course. And so they ask him these 3 questions. But look quickly. Look back. Jesus gave us and them a pretty substantial down payment. Can you say down payment with me? Down payment. He gave them a pretty substantial down payment in his prophesying ability with his answer to the first question. Wouldn't you say that? Say. If there are 3 questions that they ask him, and question number 1 was fulfilled to a T in AD 70 by Titus and the Romans, they besieged the city, they burned the houses, they burned the treasures, they burned the furnishings, they carried the stones away, I would say, you can take that one to the bank. You know what I mean? That sounds pretty good. He gave us, I think, some help. I think he gave us living today a little bit of help with our faith. It helps me. If you're anything like me, it helps when you get a little prophecy that's been fulfilled. Had a brother come to see me this week in the office, and he told me about his salvation, really how he got it nailed with the Lord. He got it nailed with the Lord when you look at the Bible and there's 300-400 prophecies or whatever, and every one of them happened just like the Bible says it was going to happen. And he always questioned things, and that was the thing that really helped him become a believer in Jesus Christ, because how could these things happen if it were not of God? Amen. And it nailed it for that brother in Christ. Amen? Why are we doing this message series? So that I can get up here and act like a nut? No. We're doing this so I want you to have faith in the Lord. I want you to trust in the Lord. I want you, when you open the Bible and you see letters, especially in red, all the letters, black or red, but especially when you look at those letters in red, you can say, that's my Savior talking to me. I love him. He loves me. I believe him. I do not want to doubt him, because Satan's all about doubt. Okay? God's all about faith. Keep looking. So, Jesus said he's coming again. You might say, where did he say that, preacher man? Well, it's all through the Bible, but let me just give you one, okay? Let me give you one doozy. I love this one. Pop it up, Raj. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, read it with me. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I'm from the country. Is that plain English or what? To me, that's just plain and it's pretty at the same time, ain't it? That is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture in all the Bible. John chapter 14. I love it. Jesus said he was coming again. Move it. Let's see what we got. When will Jesus return? When will Jesus Christ return? Now, we're doing just verses from Jesus. And don't you think if he's the one coming back that we can probably trust his word? Say, I think so. Okay? Let's look at it. When will Jesus return? Jesus Christ was asked many questions while on this earth. Can you imagine after he healed people, after he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Don't you imagine there were lines out the gazoo asking him questions? All kinds of questions. And the Bible has a lot of them to mention. But you know what? He was asked a lot of questions, but the longest answer that he ever gave by far on any question that he was asked had to do with his coming again. I want you to get that today. What answer did Jesus give that was the longest, most detailed, most information, took up the most verses in my Bible? What's the one question that he answered that is the longest answer that he gave that's the most detailed? It had to do with the question when they asked him, when are you coming again? See, this isn't some wild-eyed doctrine I done made up here. This is the longest thing he said. Sounds like to me he was trying to say, Clark, if you don't get much, get this. I'm coming back. Things are not always going to be like they are, like you see them in your world today. Jesus Christ will return again. That's what the Bible says. Let's look at it. You can take it to the bank. He's coming. He said he's coming. It's going to happen. But watch it. When will Jesus return? Can you say that with me? I'm trying to get you to help me. When will Jesus return? Well, let's look at it. Words of Jesus. Look at it. Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Matthew 24:50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knows no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, you know, it's not that difficult. After all those verses, do we know when Jesus is coming? Yes or no? No. Let's look at what he says. Pop it up, Raj. No man knows. Hit it. No angel knows. And not even the Son of Man knows. Certainly there is debate on that last one. Not even the Son of Man knows. Personally, I believe Jesus knows when he's coming again. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because when he gave this talk on the earth, the Bible says that he was made in the likeness of man. He was made a little lower than the angels. The book of Hebrews tells us. Also, the book of Philippians chapter 2 tells us this. And he divested himself of certain things when he came to this planet. Does that make sense to some of you? Well, now he is glorified. He is at the right hand of God the Father. He's seated there in all his glory. And so I personally believe he knows when he's coming. Okay? But when he gave this, he didn't. Now that's open for debate. You could come up to me and say today, he doesn't know. And I'd go, well, you know, I can see why you say that for sure. Absolutely. Okay? So I ain't going to argue about it. But the bottom line is, when he gave this, no man knows, no angel knows, not even the Son of Man knows. Pop up a screen for me. Yeah, I got something else coming. Listen to me. William Miller. People have got off track on this stuff. Have you agree with that? Say, there's some real wackos and freakos and nutsos when it comes to end time events. Are you hearing me today? That's why a lot of us have, and a lot of the world's turned off on Jesus coming again, because a bunch of freaks out there made them think they're nuts. You know what I'm saying? And I'm with them. Okay? But that doesn't, let's call some freaks out there. Don't mean Jesus' word isn't true. Okay? I believe in Jesus Christ. But here's one freako right here. William Miller in 1843, he had a church. They were known as the Millerites. And he was a real smart cookie. And this guy, he was big on calculations. And he could go in the Bible and he figured out dates and all this stuff. And he was sure. He had it nailed. It was done. It was a slam dunker, baby. He said, Jesus is coming back in 1843. All his followers, many of them sold everything they had. They sold the houses, everything they had. They went to a place up in New England. I hate to crack on you people in New England. That's where he's from. Anyway, sorry about that. That's where he's from, up there in that corner right there. That Millerite guy. Anyway, but I know, I've met plenty of nutsos in the South. I'll tell you that as well. But they climbed trees even. They got up in the trees. Why? Because they wanted to be real close. When he came back, he could just snatch them out of the tree. Well, guess what? Them suckers hung on all day. He didn't come. You know? And you know what? They all came down, and Miller looked over everything that he studied, and guess what? Well, dadgum, I missed it by a year. He redid all his calculations. He missed it by a year. Next year, they all came back. They all climbed the trees. Some of them, not all of them. Climbing trees, guess what? He didn't come in either. Needless to say, that was the end of the Millerites. That was the end of the Millerites. Hey, if you're so smart, why don't you read about six verses like we read this morning in the Bible? Was that very hard to do, say? Six verses or seven verses we popped up. No man knows the day nor hour. It's really funny, but old William Miller does. How about this next guy right here? Who's that guy? Charles Taz Russell. Who is he? Well, let me tell you about Charles Russell. He was in the late 1800s. He was a shirt salesman, so he was slick. He was slick. Let me tell you something. He was a shirt salesman, and he was a salesman, and he was a slick salesman. So what did he do? He went to a Bible study. He never had any Bible training, any seminary training, no deep Bible training whatsoever. And not that that's always necessary, but it does help if you're going to start a whole religion, okay? So here's what he did. Here's what he did. He's a shirt salesman, goes to this Bible study talking about end time events. He didn't like the way they were teaching it. He didn't believe just like they were saying, so he went out and started his own. In the early 1900s, he said Jesus was coming again. He gave the certain date. This time, it was to a high hill in Brooklyn. Okay? But this guy was slick. He was slick. Because at the end of the day, they were like, Jesus didn't come, man. And he went, you didn't see him? I saw him. He took our spirits. And so he continued on in what is known today as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? So you take that to the bank. Okay? Exactly that where they started from, you would not find a Jehovah's Witness on the planet or the world before this man was born, before this man came along. And that's how cults get started. Okay? And I know that's ugly, and I don't care how dedicated they are, and what, but if you deny Jesus Christ as your Lord, that He is the Son of God, He is very God, that's what He says, and you deny so many other things and these kinds of things, it's craziness. Are you hearing me today? I know it's a little ugly, ain't it? We're supposed to be nice. I want to be nice. But I don't want to give up the Word of God and what the Bible says just so I can be nice to somebody. It's the Word of God or it isn't. So that was Charles Taz Russell. But I don't want to stop there. I got one more story. It's funny to me. Listen, it's funny to me how angels don't know, how no man knows, how the Son of God, how the Son of Man doesn't even know, but Fred down on 2nd Street in Englewood knows. How many remember, if you've been in Englewood long enough, how many remember in our paper a few years back, come on, that it was a group in this area that sold what they had and they moved, I believe, to Kentucky. Let me see your hands. Can I see your hands? Okay. It happened. They know the day, the end of the world is coming. Boom. So they moved from Englewood. I think they went to Kentucky. You know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but let me say something to you. I've been to Kentucky. I know Kentucky. I've seen Kentucky. And friend, Kentucky ain't no promised land. Amen? It sure ain't. You can ask Larry Simpson, who had to park when they were kids growing up. They had to park, and they had to go like 3-4 miles deep into the woods where there's no running water, no power, no nothing. Amen? I just hope heaven has running water. Amen? Come on. Come on. It ain't Kentucky. What's my point? You know what the point is. No man knows a day nor hour. Okay? No man knows when Jesus is coming again. You hearing me today? No man knows. Let me tell you something. There have been so many books written. 1988. 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 88. Did he? Yes or no? No. Ed Below, when I was in high school, he's a very well-known prophetic guy. I think he's passed away now, so I can talk about him. But anyway, he came to our church and said Jesus was coming in 1980. And this was a guy that had tremendous gifts theologically and studying the Word of God, but he was convinced of it. He said, you can't know the day nor the hour, but you can know the season. And I think he was convinced that he was coming back in the fall season around Rosh Hashanah, which is this weekend's right now that we're in. My point is this, when people start talking like that, you ought to have red flags up. You ought to know enough about the Bible just from being here today that you know that that's off the charts. Okay? So that's what we wanted to cover that this morning. Let's keep looking. Now I'm going somewhere and we're almost done. We're getting closer. Woo! Too many stories. What should be our attitude concerning the return of Jesus Christ? What should be our attitude concerning the return of Jesus Christ? I want to know what my attitude should be, right? Where should I sit? What should I be thinking? How should I be living? How should I handle this deal in my head and in my heart? And so Jesus tells us exactly what our attitude should be. Watch it. Here it is. First of all, we need to have a pay attention attitude and not a business as usual attitude. Can you say that with me? I know that's odd talk because that's the way I talk and write. Here we go. We need to have a pay attention attitude and not a business as usual attitude. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's look at what the Bible says. Look at it. Words of Jesus, Matthew 24. Right after that verse where he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, he goes on to say this, watch it. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come. We need to have a pay attention attitude instead of a business as usual attitude. You know what old Noah was building that ark so long? It became this giant elephant in the room that nobody even saw anymore. I'm afraid that this coming of Jesus Christ and His return and the end of the world and last day events and prophecy, we've had so many people out there crying wolf, this, that, or the other. Sometimes we just live as business as usual. He'll never come again. Who knows if He's coming again? And His coming doesn't affect our life. But I tell you what, friend, if you'll start paying attention, it changes the way you live. If you start paying attention instead of getting depressed when you see the news, you just might get happy. Because you see some things happening in our world. I'm not all thrilled about some of the things happening in our world. However, I'm starting to pay a little more attention. Let's look at it. Here we go. Let's look at some of them. Look at some things going on in our world. The war on terror. Well, there's always been wars. Let me tell you, friend, we've never had a war like this. We've never had a war like this in the United States of America that we're having to fight, and it is crazy. People that say they love God who are religious who want to hack you to pieces. It's insanity. Drive airplanes into buildings. It is absolute, utter insanity. The war on terror. We live in a world that is wicked. It is unusual. You need to pay attention to what's going on. Let's look at it. Hostility against Israel in the U.S. How about these three idiots? Okay? Excuse me. I'll probably be shot. Okay? I could care less. Listen. Unbelievable. And they have one tie, ties these guys. They all are involved in terrorism in some way or form. The hostility against the United States and Israel. You know what? It used to be, oh, Israel was the great Satan. We've been upgraded. We're now the great Satan. They're the little Satan. We got an upgrade and we still can't fly. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Can't even go to the airports hardly and fly free. It's insanity what's happening in our world. But there's a hostility against the United States of America. And everybody wants to blame it on Bush. You can think that way if you want to. It's because you're free. It's because you're a Christian. Because you stand for freedom and liberty. They hate your guts. They'll love you if you'll, they'll love you as an American if you'll become a Muslim. They'll be tickled for you. I know that's ugly talk. Start looking at our world and things that's going on. I'm not saying Jesus is coming right now. I don't know. All I do know is I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention to what's going on. Keep looking. The global economy used to be in America. We're America first. We'll do what we want to do. We'll be fine. Our economy's this, that, or the other. Guess what? Those days are over. You can have that attitude if you want to. Try that at the gas pump. Oh, I'm glad gas is going down. Can we praise the Lord? Glass it down. Come on. Thank you, Lord. But let me tell you something. We're in a global economy. People want to boycott Citgo. Hey, I'm all for boycotting Citgo because Hugo Chavez owns the thing and I can't stand him. Okay? But let me tell you something. That's not going to fix it. Why? Because we're in a global economy. He'll just sell it to China. Sell everything to China. That's the economy we live in. You know, the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, has a lot to say about our economy and how it will be and how no one will be able to buy or sell without getting the mark of the beast and things like that. We'll talk about some of those things in some of our future messages. Need to pay attention. How about the overwhelming spread of Islam? Fastest growing religion on the planet. I think there's 1.5 billion. And they are committed, my friend, committed. So much so, when the Pope says something that's quite frankly historical, that Muhammad conquered with the sword, all you got to do is get a history book and read it. That's how Muhammad conquered. You believe in Allah? No. You believe in Allah? Yeah. Okay, you in. That's what history teaches. But he says stuff like he says, and what do? They make little Pope dolls now, and they're burning them in the street. But we're not violent. Oh, no. Not you guys. Okay? Look at the spread of Islam. What does Islam hate? Flat out, period. Christianity and Jews. Well, it sounds like to me in the Bible, that's what God loves. That's God's plan. He loves all people. But His plan works through the people of Israel. That's where our Savior came, folks. Okay? And then we're to be Christians. We're to trust Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's God's plan. There is no other plan. That is the plan. Okay? That's the plan. It's not a popular talk I give when I talk like this, but I honestly could really care less. What your political view is, anything like this. I do not believe Islam is a peace-loving religion. I do not believe if you are a Muslim, as you believe in Allah, that you will see Jesus Christ or you'll see your Heavenly Father. You won't. You need to bow your knee at the feet of Jesus Christ. He had one son. His name was Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He doesn't have any little other ways getting up. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you try to come up any other way, the same is, quote it with me, the same is a thief and a robber. Enough people in the building know that much of the Bible. Anyway, we quote that. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Keep looking. We need to have a pay attention attitude. The United Nations. How many remember in your lifetime somebody coming to the United Nations like this past week, slamming our president, calling him a devil? And if you're in this room today, listen to my voice on radio, and you talk like that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't honor God by talking like that or hooking up with a terrorist. Now, I know that's ugly, but that's just plain English. The UN, I mean, things are weird today. We see now more Kofi Annan moving on the scene and doing everything over in the Middle East. The Bible talks about end time events. It talks about peace. Isn't it funny? Where does it talk about peace? Where? In what? The Middle East. Isn't that what we hear constantly say? Isn't it funny? The Bible, I think, just might be true after all. Keep looking. Unprecedented natural disasters. And you might be here today and say, oh, come on, Clark, we've always had natural disasters. Do you know what? I'm 44 years old. I never knew 500 people to be swallowed up by no tsunami like they did last year. How many of y'all saw one of them before that swallowed up 500,000 people? Did you see it? I didn't. I'm just saying, am I saying Jesus Christ is coming right now? No, I'm not. Am I saying He could come? I am saying that. Amen. I am saying that. I just see a lot of things happening. What am I saying? I'm saying we ought to pay attention. We ought to pay attention. We ought to pay attention. And not just be business as usual. You know, it's really sad. Noah preached for over 100 years. Who got in the ark? Somebody tell me. Just his what? Family. And some of you today probably listening, or you're listening on radio, television, let me tell you something, you're probably cutting me off right now too. Man, I want you on the ark, baby. You hear me? I want you to know Christ. I want you to know that He loves you. He could come at any moment. That's what the Bible teaches. Look up. Look around. Be awake. Be alert. Let's look at another attitude. Number two. What should our attitude be concerning the return of Jesus Christ? We need to be watching for Jesus. We need to have a watching for Jesus to return attitude, and not, I wonder if He ever will return. There's a difference in watching for Him and not watching for Him. Are you watching for Him? That'll change the way you live your life. 1 John 3, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Verse 2, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is. For we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Then verse 3, every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. What does me looking for Jesus to return, watching, looking, having a pay attention attitude, it affects the way I live my life? Does that make sense to anybody? Say, if Jesus could come today, I want to make sure my relationship is right with others. If Jesus come today, I want to make sure I'm loving my wife today, loving my children today. If Jesus come today, I want to make sure my neighbor knows about Jesus. If Jesus is coming today, then I want to work my tail off on Sunday morning at Fellowship Church. That's what I want to do, because He could come today. It affects the way I live my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. It affects the way we live. So a watching attitude, not a wondering if He ever will. Couple of things. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Revelation, Jesus speaking. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast, repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 16, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. That's what the Bible teaches. A couple other points. We need to believe that Jesus is coming again and not doubt that He's coming again. I tell you what, folks, I believe the blessing of God depends on how we handle this topic. We're going to build us a church in Rotunda, Florida. Let me tell you something. If I was God, and if there was a church down there that said, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but we don't believe Jesus is coming again, if I was God, I'd pour my blessing off that ministry. You just believe me when it's convenient. I think as a church, we need to believe all the Bible, and we certainly, when Jesus said He's coming again, even though we don't understand everything about it, we need to say, yes, sir. And we're going to follow You, and we're going to live for You. Even if other people think you're kooky, I'd say, to heck with them. I'm going to believe the Bible and what You say, Lord. Okay? Satan's all about doubt. Say that with me. Satan is all about doubt. But look at what God is. Look at it. Without faith, you cannot please God. You cannot please God. We have got to be watching for Him, for His return. Think about it. Read your Bible. As you look around you, let it hit your mind and your head that Jesus could come today. I want to make today the best day because He could come today. You might say, don't you get tired of living like that, Clark? Not really. I'm doing okay. Doing okay. It's not a bad thing to get up and think, this day could be my last day. This day I could see Jesus. This day He could come again. This could be the day. Hallelujah. And that's not a depressing attitude. It's a great attitude. Amen? I'll trade Inglewood Roads for streets of gold any day. I'll tell you that right now. Come on. Let's look at it. Don't be asleep at the wheel. Watch, baby, for you know not when your Lord may come. Here's the last thing, the last point. Our attitude, we need to have I'll give an account to God attitude and not it's all about me attitude. When I think about Jesus Christ returning, you know what old Clark thinks? I'm going to stand before Him. I'm going to give an account for what I've done in my body. I'm going to give an account the way I've lived my life. I'm going to give an account how I'm giving my money. I'm going to give an account what I'm doing. Ooh, I need that. Amen? What did he say? Look at the Bible. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, Matthew 24 still, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Listen, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. What you do on this planet does matter because he's coming again. He's going to reward you for what you've done in the body. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of. He shall cut him asunder. He shall point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to live life as if he's coming today, and I'm going to stand before him, and I'm going to give an account to him for what I've done in my body. Does that make sense? That's what this is talking about. Three attitudes. Then this, it's all about him. Can you say that with me? It's all about. That's what the coming of Jesus Christ can do for your head. When you start looking for his return, you start to realize, it's not about me. It's about him. See, he died to save me, and he's got a big plan that he's going to unveil here in the future. I don't know when it's going to start, but it's not about me. It's about him. Amen? It's all about him. Second thing, say that with me. He owns me. What do I mean? I mean, he made me, friend. I'm creating his image. You know what the Bible says? Every knee shall confess, every tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord. That's every knee, because he created everybody. But let me tell you something. He owns me twice, hallelujah, because he saved me. Amen? Man, I want to be watching for him. I want to know that I'm giving an account to him, because, man, he owns me twice. He is my creator. He's my savior. And I tell you what, I'm going to stand before him one day. And it could be today. Take it to the bank. We're done now. Last scripture. Jesus is coming again. And the world as we know it will end. We're going to talk about that the next 5 weeks. Okay? Hope that you'll come back. Maybe invite a friend. I know we're a little crazy. I hope that we don't get too crazy. Okay? Here we go. But if it's in the Bible, we're going there. Is it going to happen? Answer with me. Yep. How about this one? How about this one, class? When is it going to happen? Don't know. Watch this. Should I be ready when it does happen? Sure enough. Sure enough. Amen? Let's look at the last scripture, one of my favorites. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He didn't stop there. Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. Emphasis on no man. No man comes to the Father but by me. Who you going to believe, friend? Say, I choose to believe Jesus Christ. I choose to believe the Bible. Where are you at today? You on that page? I hope that you are.